Over the past several Lord's days, we have been considering the first eight verses of the first chapter of Ephesians. This morning, in God's providence, as we come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, our attention is primarily going to be directed to verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians chapter 1. So find the insert there in your bulletin, please, and listen as the Holy Spirit speaks to us from these God's own words. Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to the saints, to you in Ephesus, who are also faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also, having listened, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we come to you again this morning, grateful that you do not count our sins against us if we are united to Jesus Christ by grace through faith. We're thankful that in him we may come into your presence and know that we're welcome. We pray, our Father, now that as we consider this portion of your word, that you would encourage us as we consider the secret that is out, that we might live in the truth of that secret as it's been revealed to us in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Everyone loves a mystery. We're looking forward to when the social committee will present Horror at Homecoming, a mystery, murder mystery dinner theater sometime next year. We love a mystery because we're always looking forward to that which is a secret being revealed. Most of us are familiar with the table game Clue. At the beginning of the game, a person, a place, and a weapon card are placed in an envelope concealed from the players. Eventually, someone solves the mystery. Who did it? Where did they do it? And with what did they do it? In verse 9, we read about a mystery, a secret which has been hidden, but now is revealed. Let's notice, first of all, the secret's creator. The secret's creator, having made known the mystery of his will. The creator of the secret is God himself. through the exercise of His will. God willed something in Himself which has been kept a secret through ages past, only to be revealed in the fullness of times. It's as if the sand has left the top half of the hourglass and finally filled in the bottom, the fullness of time. Everything which pointed to the revealing of the secret has culminated in the conception, birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coronation of Jesus and His awaited return. At the beginning of Genesis, there in the third chapter and verse 15, we find that proto-evangel, as God says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." We would agree, would we not, that if the only type of revelation and fellowship we knew with our Creator were those daily times in the cool of the day He came and fellowshiped with us, that we now, having eaten the forbidden fruit, having sought to hide ourselves with those leaves because we're ashamed of our nakedness because we've eaten the forbidden fruit, to hear God say these words to that serpent, what does He mean? What does He have in His mind? Enmity between you and the woman? Between your offspring and hers? He will crush your head and you will bruise His heel? One grain of sand drops down to the bottom of the hourglass. And then soon a second grain of sand drops, as God brings those skins of a sacrificed animal and covers us. Wouldn't we scratch our heads? What does this mean? What is this all about? We wait, wondering why it is that when we ate that forbidden fruit, we did not immediately die physically. What does this animal sacrifice have to do with our not dying? The mystery, the secret, is beginning to be revealed. But to understand what took place there in that garden, perhaps the tragedy that set forth for us in that popular nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, will help us. Remember, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. Would it be possible? Could it be possible? Is it indeed possible that God would restore that fallen, broken egg? Is it possible that God would do something for Adam and his wife? Though they did not die physically, they were driven out of the garden, out of the presence of God. And because of their sin, the creation was cursed as well. How would paradise lost be restored? The rest of the Old Testament is one grain of sand upon one grain of sand flowing from the upper half of that hourglass down into the bottom, until in the fullness of time, according to His kind intention, He made known the mystery of His will. Now that we realize the secret's creator to be God Himself, we're ready to notice the secret's content. The secret's content. Who is the offspring of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent? Every glimpse of a head crusher in the Old Testament proved futile in the end. Here Paul tells us the secret's content is the summing up of all things in Christ. To sum up is to pull together fractions, if you please, into one whole number. After the fall, and especially after the Tower of Babel, humanity was split into fractions. One third here, 3/5 there, 9/42 over there, 100, oh, what do you want to make it? Over whatever you want to make it. You understand. When we ate that forbidden fruit, we became a fractured creation. But how do we bring together fractions? You have to have what? A lowest common denominator. Who is the lowest common denominator to bring together this world that is fractured, splintered into fractions? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who comes, and in His coming will sum up all things in Himself. And how is this possible? Well, it's possible as we find there in those first 8 verses. It's possible because He comes as the fulfillment of the will of God, who blesses us in electing us unto salvation. And He adds to that blessing of election the blessing of adoption, whereby we are secured to become children of His family through the blessing of redemption through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it's that shed blood that we have the privilege of enjoying as we gather together at the table of the Lord when we partake of the element of the cup. Not that it becomes the blood of Jesus, but it reminds us of the shedding of His blood so that we might come together as fractions through sin, united in Christ to sit at that table. Since we have the whole Bible, it should not surprise us that the secret indeed is out with the coming of Jesus, the Word of God incarnate. The content of the secret is nothing less than union with Christ according to the kind intention which He, God, purposed in Him, Christ, or if it's the reflexive pronoun here, it would be which He purposed in Himself. The idea conveyed by with an administration is understood when we understand that an administration points to an administrator. An administrator is one who sees to it that plans are put into action. Well, the putting together of Humpty Dumpty seems possible in the Old Testament, and sometimes even probable. It's not realized completely, is it? Until Jesus Christ comes in the fullness of time. He comes and He does what God ordained for Him to do. Again, that which we're going to demonstrate as we partake of the elements of the supper. He gave His life that we together might have life. So we understand who the Creator of the secret is. We understand the content of that secret, the summing up of all things in Jesus Christ. Finally, we want to notice the secret's certainty. The secret's certainty. And here, I was tempted to say the secret's condition, but there's nothing conditional about the secret. The secret's certain, but there's a condition that we have to meet in order to appreciate the secret that is out. It's only by grace, through faith, that the mystery, the secret, is appreciated. Why do I say that? Well, what question perpetually haunts society and even Christians from time to time? If God is love, why is there evil in the world? Or in light of these two verses before us this morning, if all things are being summed up in Christ Jesus, why is there evil in the world? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We know humankind was created in the image of God to have dominion over creation. But we sinned in Adam and we ate the forbidden fruit. Therefore, God cursed creation because of our sin. The world was fractured and fractions resulted. The creation groans as in childbirth for the revealing of the sons of God. And so do our bodies groan awaiting the return of Jesus at the end of this current age when He'll usher in the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness will dwell forever and ever. And the wolf will lie down with the lamb. We'll be able to play with poisonous snakes and not have to worry about being poisoned by a bite." Nevertheless, it takes great faith to read on in that 8th chapter of Romans where we find these words in verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." The writer of Hebrews 2:8 confesses, "Yet at present we do not see everything under Him that is under man." He goes on in the next verse to write, "But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone." We certainly do see all sorts of evil all around us. And even when we look at ourselves, we find we're not perfect. We do indeed sin. There is evil even within us. So why don't we despair? We don't despair because of the secret's certainty. Jesus lives and He rules at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Now, and indeed, nothing happens to those of us who are loved by God in Christ Jesus that is not for our own good. If we are united to Jesus by grace through faith, we know that those fractions, those sins are summed up in the Beloved because His shed blood affords forgiveness when we confess our sins to God and to one another. So we praise God for these two verses, 9 and 10. Having made known the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. This morning, it is indeed our privilege to reveal before a watching world that mystery that has been concealed throughout the ages for over 4,000 years, according to man's time. That Jesus Christ came, finished the work that God gave Him to do, was buried, resurrected, ascended, and there at the right hand of God is crowned the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, waiting His return. For we do show forth the Lord's death until He comes. The secret is out, the summing up of all things in Christ. And we demonstrate that it's out as we come together in Jesus, knowing our sins are forgiven through Him, to the table that reminds us of our great salvation and the secret being out. A healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading knows that in Christ all things are being summed out, summed up, and enjoys telling others about this, because God wants us to do just that. Amen. Father in heaven, take these words, encourage us through them to behold Jesus. And may we see Him in us. And may we see Him in each other. And may we see Him in this supper that He has instituted for His bride, the church, of whom we are a part. And we pray, as we show forth the Lord's death until He comes, as we partake of this sacrament, that we would indeed be a congregation of Your people who know that in Christ all things are indeed being summed up. And may we enjoy telling others about that great salvation that we enjoy in Him, because that's what You would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.